From the land of Grand Teton University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It is the 28th day of July 2021. I'm Extension's Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Dave Chatterton. He's at Strategic Farm Marketing from right here in Champaign County, Illinois. We'll check conditions on the ground for the corn crop with Ryland Zwanziger from Five Star Cooperative out of New Hampton, Iowa. That's in the north central part of the state. And then as we close out our time together, we'll discuss the weather forecast with Drew Lerner. He's at World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City, Missouri. And we'll do all of that right here on this Wednesday edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. It's public radio for the farming world.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
September corn in Chicago finished at $5.49 a bushel, up a half today. December at $5.49, up 2 3/4, and March 3 cents higher at $5.56 3/4. August beans up 13 3/4 at $14.32. September $13.70 up 3 1/4, and November soybeans at $13.61, a penny and a half higher. Bean meal futures down 2.70 at $3.56.10, and the bean oil at $66.55. 29 cents higher on the day. Soft red winter wheat at $6.97 3/4, up 13 1/2. The hard red at $6.59 1/2, up 18. And spring leading the pack with the December contract at $8.93 3/4, up 25 3/4 cents. Live cattle futures at $128.52 1/2, a dime higher on the afternoon. Feeders at $163.45, down 55 cents. And lean hogs were off the $3 limit. They set at $89.52 1/2. Gold futures for the day at $1,801.30, down $2.70. Crude oil at $72.40 a barrel, and that's about 75 cents higher. Heating oil is a penny and 3 cents higher at $2.15 8/10. And gasoline on the RBOB, that's the wholesale price, just about unchanged at $2.28 3/10. Natural gas at $3.99, and that's about 4 6/10 cents higher on the day. Of course, you're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. It is public radio for the farming world. Find and listen to our programming anytime you'd like at WILLAG.org. Scroll down the page and you'll find information from the agricultural economist, crop scientist, and of course, the animal scientist here on campus. And you'll also find a way to listen to us in podcast applications like Stitcher, SoundCloud, NPR One, Spotify, Google Podcast, and Apple Podcast too. Dave Chatterton now joins us to talk about the commodity markets. He's with Strategic Farm Marketing in Champaign, Illinois. Thanks, Dave, for being on with us this afternoon and for filling in. We sure appreciate that.
No, my pleasure, Ty. Always good to be with you.
You know, tell me about the trade overnight and day trade for corn and soybeans.
Yeah, well, I mean, we did post a higher close here today. I mean, mostly led here by the Minneapolis wheat. That has to do with the wheat quality tour that's going on currently. Day one was yesterday, day two today, and the final day tomorrow. The initial yields from yesterday were very low, 29.5. That's about 34% below the five-year average and well below the last number that we had from them in 2019. And that's leading Minneapolis wheat and pulling the wheat complex higher in general. Today was also a day where we saw another kind of failure or trouble holding traction of an early rally in the row crops here with corn and soybeans. We did close higher for the day, but didn't hold on to those early gains. And I think we're in a situation where we're struggling, trying to balance out, you know, the good versus the bad in terms of weather and yield potential for the areas under stress in the western corn belt, and particularly the northern plains, versus areas like our own here in central Illinois and Indiana that have some pretty good looking crops and what that all means. The forecast certainly moderates here. Going into the weekend with temperatures coming down, but we don't have a lot of rainfall in store next week. So it's kind of still a little bit of a give and take. I think the best tool we're probably looking at right now in terms of gauging what that final yield potential is going to be are going to be crop condition ratings on the weekly NAS reports. Those numbers on Monday, I think, Todd, are expected to come down another maybe 1% to 2% here for corn and soybeans both. And in doing so, I think they would imply a yield that's just moderately below trend here and puts us in a situation where that balance sheet could tighten up. The next USDA report we have is on August 12th, so we'll be working towards that.
And USDA will be collecting some information, though they won't be going into the field, at least not yet for that August 12th. That was a change they made going into last year's crop production report, so we won't get really hard numbers until we get to September. Will the trade be satisfied with what they see in August, or do they just on the idea that they'll see what they saw in July?
Well, I don't think the trade will ever be satisfied, but it is another data point that continues to point us to this. I think what we're looking at is that, you know, even though they're not going to be in the field because of the budget cuts and the COVID issues, we're gonna look at that data as a way of, you know, historically it correlates, you know, pretty tightly here as we get into the last week. I think we're in week 29 right now of those weekly crop ratings. So by the time we get to the report, we'll have over 30 weeks. The correlation on that starts to pick up pretty good and gives us a better idea of combining that with what the USDA tells us on August 12th of kind of where those final yields may land. So certainly we're zeroing it in and kind of narrowing down the funnel a little bit on the range of what those particular yields may be.
I'd like to talk a little bit about soybeans. University of Illinois agricultural economist Gary Schnitke earlier this week, and you can find this up on our site or on the FarmDoc site, either one, put out crop budgets for 2022. They're not as good as this year, but soybeans were much better than corn. Those, of course, would be based on kind of current situation prices. Is there anything that producers should consider as it relates to 2022?
Well, I think everyone's concerned about inputs, Todd, and in the data that you released, you know, from Dr. Schnitke. I mean, we've got the corn inputs were seen up 14% year over year, and I think that's still a little bit of a stab in the dark here. We don't really know what those prices are going to be, so it's a little hard to make concrete plans at this point. I think in general, I would lean a little bit heavier towards the, you know, the idea of planting some additional soybeans because we think the profitability will probably be a little bit better there, but we've got a long way to go in that battle. I think the idea right now is to stay as informed as you can and to gather any information you can on what your potential inputs may be for 2022 as we wind into to late summer and into harvest here and start thinking about next year.
We have not on this program talked about old crop corn for a while. There is still some in the bin. Farmers have been holding steady quite a bit, thinking that eventually there will need to be another chase, although it's a pretty darn high price as it is, by end users. Do you think that'll come?
Well, we've seen some basis appreciation here in the last several days here as the market has pushed a little bit higher. The inverse is seeming to do its job here just a little bit as we've gone into these crop periods. I think there's probably a need out there and an idea that we would like to, you know, by the processor to secure some additional grain, Todd, but I don't look for any fireworks if that's the case. The spreads here have been generally pretty stable, have not been, giving us any indication that those fireworks are coming anytime soon. So, you know, it's a pick your poison type of a market. I think you're really betting on flat price and where this thing could go based on, you know, the crop condition reports weekly, the weather that we're trading, and then ultimately the USDA report here in early August.
If not fireworks, are you concerned at all that old crop might turn and slide very quickly?
Well, I think anytime we get down to this situation and we're looking at the difference that we've got in the old crop versus new crop basis numbers, you have to be prepared for some volatility here and that the bottom can fall out. The second that those processors or those exporters feel like they've got themselves covered, those bids are going to basically go down to parity. And I don't think that's the favored case maybe this early in the scenario, but as we move into early August, we have to start looking at some corn that's going to get harvested in the south and, you know, late in the month next month. So it's definitely something to be to be cognizant of as far as your marketing plan goes.
Anything that producers should consider as it relates to quick ship?
That's a good question. I think when you're looking at what happens this fall, certainly the first crops that come off have the potential to capture some premium. I think that's particularly true probably in soybeans more so than corn. We're still executing a rather large export program for corn, but the need for those soybeans coming off a harvest could be there. So again, I think you want to be prepared. If you think you can have an early harvest and your beans in particular are going to be ready, you know, the bean crop in general is not and hasn't matured quite as quickly, I think, or come along quite as quickly as what we found in the corn. So if you're in that position, you certainly want to be able to leverage that.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, Don.
That's Dave Chatterton. He's with Strategic Farm Marketing. Joined us on this Wednesday afternoon edition of the Closing Market Report. Came to you from Illinois Public Media. It's public radio for the farming world. In fact, Dave will join us again tomorrow afternoon for our Commodity Week program, along with Chip Nellinger of Blue Reef Agri Marketing, Joe Vaklevic from Standard Grain, and Steve Freed at ADM Investor Services. We'll record that tomorrow afternoon around 3 and post it to the website at WILLAG.org. By about 6 o'clock, and on many of these radio stations, you'll hear it all over the weekend and Friday afternoon right here on Illinois Public Media. I think we probably should check some conditions on the ground in parts of Iowa now. Chad Hart yesterday from Iowa State University, agricultural economist there, told us that the north central part of the state was on the verge, but leaning towards the dry side. So I called the five-star cooperative this morning in New Hampton, Iowa. They handle about 50 million bushels of corn and soybeans in any given year, and talk with Ryland Zwanziger. He is the grain originations manager there. I asked him first to tell me a little bit about five-star co-op and where it's located.
Yeah, five-star, we cover I guess, from the river all the way to Highway 35, or Interstate 35, and then north of 20. And we take a little bit of Minnesota as well. We do get a little bit on the west side of I-35, and, you know, currently actually in the process of a merger with Farmers Win, or at least in the voting process, that would kind of continue to expand inside of that area.
So it's a fairly large area in what would be one of the highest producing areas in the nation. How does the corn look this time of year?
Surprisingly, it's hanging on, is I guess the way I put it. I've got production myself and my crop. If I look at it today and don't know anything about it, it actually is hanging in there. But we have had very little rain this entire growing season, a little bit kind of at the tail end of planting, and you know, an off and on half inch to an inch every few weeks is really what most of our area has seen. Now, there are some isolated areas that have caught, you know, an inch to half, 3 inches, some with even five plus here and there, but those have been pretty small. Those crops certainly are looking quite a bit better, but we are on the stress side. We've got a chance here in the next hour or two to maybe grab a little bit, but any time our forecast has had that chance has just really been tough to amount to much. So, you know, we had frost early on in the growing season that really had things uneven. But even before that, I guess our stands were cut a little bit just from dry soil and cold temps. I know that a few guys had to do some replants from that, as well as then getting hit from the frost. So, the one thing I have heard from agronomists here recently, just kind of chatting with them, is they are surprised at the potential still. It has been able to hang on. There is a fair amount of the region that has even thrown some double ears. Now, we've been going through this pollination time frame with very little rain again. So will we start to abort that? Will we start to go to a shallow kernel depth? Those are a lot of things that we're still very concerned about our handle in this region here today. And the bean side is kind of a toss-up as well. We've got to start to catch some of these rains here in August. August is what makes beans, so let's catch some rains. But right now I'm a little, I guess, nervous on our handle for both corn and beans if we can't catch much here over the next week or two.
What's your fall delivery basis like at this point, and is that much different than normal?
Yeah, fall delivery basis, we're maybe a tad bit on the stronger side than normal. We're kind of hanging in that 25 to 30 under range through most of our region. Now, my gut says that's going to continue to keep improving as we head on into harvest, just because a lot of these end users are going to be running low on supply and just trying to get a little bit coverage as harvest goes on. So I don't know that they'll ever get ahead of it. I don't know that we're going to see basis be able to back off into some of those more historical 40 under type levels. I just don't see that possibility happening here.
So you're 15 cents better than normal?
Yeah. I mean, as a whole, in our area, you have to understand we have a lot of ethanol base. So for us to kind of continue to maintain our handle, we've got to stay pretty competitive. So that's part of that as well.
Hey, thank you.
You bet. Thank you.
That was Ryland Zwanziger. He's a grain originations manager for the Five Star Cooperative based out of New Hampton, Iowa. Let's check the weather forecast now with Drew Lerner at World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City. Thank you, Drew, for being with us. A lot warmer in your part of the world, at least at the moment, than ours, though I think it's sneaking this way. Can you tell me about some of those temperatures across the Western Corn Belt?
Yeah, today we're going to see those temperatures reaching up into the upper 90s and over 100 degrees in the southwest part of Minnesota. Actually, a big part of Minnesota, but the southwest will see the century mark. Northwestern Iowa will probably do it as well. And some areas nearby in Nebraska and certainly in southern and eastern parts of South Dakota. That's all today. Yesterday, we reached 111 degrees in northwestern South Dakota with the same air mass. A lot of temperatures, 105 to 110 reported out there. Pretty stressful day for livestock. If there's any crops that have managed this far, they were pretty badly stressed too. But the good news about this is it's not going to last very long. We are pushing that heat to the south and to the west. And we'll see other areas in the western and central parts of the Corn Belt heat up over the next 2 days. But as that cooler air comes southward, it'll push everything back into the plains. And so by the time we get to the weekend, all of this excessive heat will be gone. And we'll actually have a nice little cool air mass building up over eastern parts of Canada and Ontario and Quebec. And as the ridge of high pressure that's currently over the plains shifts back to the west, that'll allow the cold air in eastern Canada to work its way southwestward through the eastern Midwest. That'll occur as we go forward through the weekend. And in the meantime, as that ridge of high pressure gets out to the west, it'll actually force a new round of cool air coming southward through the eastern prairies and down through the western Corn Belt. And so the two of those air masses will combine, and we'll end up with a broad-based area of cooler bias conditions for just a little while, late in the weekend through the first half of next week. And then we'll heat up again and go through the whole thing all over again.
Sometimes when you get those hot air masses and cool air masses to hit each other, there is rainfall, but I didn't hear you talk about any of that yet.
Yeah, that's very astute of you. Absolutely. The problem here is that the way the ridge of high pressure is orientated is preventing Gulf of Mexico moisture from getting entrained while we're switching the air masses around. The ridge is actually going to be tilted from northwest to southeast as we get into the weekend. So it'll be the top of the ridge or the northern part of it will be over the northwestern United States, and then it'll extend southeastward through the central plains into the delta. And that just kind of blocks any moisture from flowing northward out of the Gulf of Mexico. And so we will get some showers and thunderstorms. I think it's tomorrow night into Friday across South Dakota, Nebraska, and parts of western Iowa. But those storms are going to have a real hard time generating meaningful rain because the Gulf isn't available as a moisture source. And so it's just going to be the basic, you know, whatever's in the atmosphere type thing that's going to be squeezed out as showers and thunderstorms. So there may be a few counties that get some significant rain, but yeah, you're right. The majority of this precipitation is going to be minimal for the areas that need it most. The eastern Midwest probably do a little bit better.
And so persistent dry conditions continue in the parts of the Corn Belt that have been the driest to this point. Does August change at all?
You know, I don't think so. What will happen in August is the ridge, early August, we'll see the ridge come back into the plains in the western part of the Corn Belt. So we'll heat up a little bit in the middle to the latter part of next week. And then we will start a succession of cool air masses coming southward again. And the ridge is going to start hanging out in the Rocky Mountains a whole lot more than in the plains. And so we'll end up seeing a progressively cooler bias in the weather coming up. The second half of August is going to be cooler than normal for most of the central and eastern Midwest. And once we're into the cool air mass, there won't be much opportunity to bring on rain and thunderstorms. So we actually may see a below average precipitation bias in quite a few areas, but especially in the western Corn Belt. And certainly those areas that are driest in the northwest will have very little opportunity to get meaningful moisture. So I fully expect to see the dry biased area in the Midwest and plains to stay right where it is. There will be a little bit of expansion of dryness into Iowa, Nebraska, and Wisconsin, maybe even down into Kansas and Missouri. But some of those areas have fairly good subsoil moisture, and it's going to take a while to deplete that. And with temperatures going cooler than normal in late August, we're probably not going to push those crops too far over their edge. Whereas the Northwest was, it really has no hope for getting some kind of reversal to take place in this environment.
Last week when we talked, we were discussing record rainfall, a whole year's worth, 30 inches or thereabouts, in parts of China in just a 24-hour period. How are things there today?
Well, that flooding is gradually abating. It's been fairly quiet in that area where that excessive rains occurred. But Tropical Storm Infa moved into one of China's southeastern provinces of Zhejiang over the weekend, and it's been a real slow mover, been very similar to what Hurricane Harvey did in the Houston area, just dumping torrents of rain over a very similar area every day. And we are now up to 36 inches since last Friday. In southeastern Anhui, which is a part of the lower Yangtze River Basin area. It's mostly a rice-producing area, but a much larger area in east-central China has reported between 12 and 22 inches since Friday. So it's another large area experiencing some significant flooding. It's not quite the same thing that occurred the previous week, because in that previous week, we had 30 inches, like you said, in a 24-hour period of time. So we spread this out over 5 days. So I guess we can't be wowed like we used to be, right? We're all used to getting 30 inches.
Yeah, I don't think you ever get used to that much rain.
I would think not. It's funny, though, over the past 2 years, I've been talking about this kind of stuff in China, and it just blows me away. I mean,
I know.
You know, 30 years ago, that never happened. If you got 4 inches, we thought we were dying, right?
Hey, speaking of things that don't happen very often, it looks like freezes and frosts are happening a lot more in the corn-growing region, second crop, that is, or safrina, of South America. They've got more on the way.
That's right. That's right. The freeze that occurred last week, it turned out to be pretty damaging, apparently, to some of the late safrina crop. A little damage to wheat, some damage to sugarcane and citrus, and even coffee. So it was a pretty interesting event that took place. And yes, we have another similar air mass coming in now. It'll be coldest on Friday and Saturday mornings in the citrus, sugarcane, and coffee areas, and probably coldest on Friday morning in the wheat and corn-producing areas. It'll already be a little bit cool tomorrow morning. But again, it looks like it's going to be something pretty similar. We've already done a lot of damage to the crop, so I'm not quite sure we'll be adding a lot with this event. The safrina crop, of course, is maturing and supposed to be harvested at this time of the year, so most likely they've made more progress in the last week than they had done previously. So I would assume there's less crop that's probably vulnerable. But nevertheless, it's definitely cold, and it will have an impact in the marketplace.
Hey, thank you.
Have a good day.
You too. That's Drew Lerner. He's with World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City. Helped us to wrap up this Wednesday edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media.